on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How are you? It's another edition of YoteCast. Great to have you tuned in to this episode. However you consume your podcast, whether that is at goyotes.com/YoteCast, or if you've downloaded and subscribed YoteCast to wherever you get your podcasts, we certainly appreciate you taking the time to listen to these throughout the course of the year and make it all possible. Coming up in the show today, we are going to dive into the South Dakota Showdown Series, South Dakota and South Dakota State preparing to play football on Saturday. We'll also take a look at everything else going on in Coyote Athletics with David Herbster, and we'll dive into triathlon as the triathlon team prepares for its national championship this weekend. While we may not have the weather around here prepared for a triathlon, they certainly will in Tempe, Arizona for the USA Triathlon Collegiate National Championship. So we'll certainly be following along, see how things go for triathlon in the championship, the Collegiate National Championship event going on this weekend. So it's a busy, busy week. Obviously, we have had a season opener for women's basketball. What a tremendous crowd it was on Tuesday for the opener. You know, over 3,000 people in attendance on a weeknight for women's basketball was absolutely fantastic. And I guarantee you, those athletes, they could feel that energy from the crowd because the crowd was fantastic all game long, and hopefully we continue that, obviously, with a couple of big home volleyball matches this weekend, women's basketball against the number one team in the country, football, obviously, against South Dakota State. So much is on the line for that one as well. So big, big week, and obviously we really appreciate you taking the time to show up or watch or listen or however you consume Coyote Athletics. We're there for you, and it is an absolute tremendous time. All right, let's get it started. We kick it off this week with David Herbster. He's the athletic director at the University of South Dakota.
David, I know this has been an extremely busy week at the University of South Dakota with all sorts of home events between Sioux Falls and Vermilion, and you're talking basketball season starting, football, volleyball, all that stuff. Just crazy this time of year, but it's a lot of fun. And, you know, let's start with the teams going towards the end of their seasons. Football right now, Bob Nielsen keeps saying the teams put themselves in a spot to play meaningful games at the end of the season. And they went to Western Illinois last week, got a nice win, and huge when you need to win a game, and they come out and do so in what was really dominating fashion for the most part. It's fun to see this team playing at that level.
You know, we're 9 games in, you got 2 games left, and both games are huge games. And, you know, when we talked last week, it's, you know, I had told others, you know, one thing that concerned me about the Western Illinois game is it could be kind of a trap game. You're coming off a bye week, you're coming off a loss, you have to go on the road to Western Illinois. There's just nothing easy about getting there once you're there. But yet you know right after that you got SDSU and NDSU in games that you think you are going to be big games, and you're going into a game where you're favored, you should win. But those are the ones that kind of scare you a little bit, right? Yeah. The coaching staff hadn't prepared. That first quarter was a little bit of back and forth. All of a sudden, we find ourselves down 14-7, but just come storming back, kind of boat racing a little bit in the second, you know, second and third quarter, and just really kind of, boy, they showed a lot of poise. Yeah. But now you're right, playing meaningful games. These games will mean something. Both games mean something, and you'd like to. We put ourselves in the position for these games to mean something, so each one is going to be equally as important.
Yeah, obviously trying to extend the season here at the end. We'll see what happens. One game at a time, now you get South Dakota State, and for them it's a very meaningful game too because they're coming off a big win. They're thinking they could be a top 8 seed in the playoffs. South Dakota's trying to make sure it gets into the playoffs. I mean, this is fun. Since USD went Division I, we've been waiting for both programs to get to a spot where when these two meet towards the end of the season, it has a lot of stakes, and that's where we're at right now.
No, and that's what you get in year-end football when you're coming down to the wire. You're jockeying for position at our level. You're jockeying for playoff berth. You're jockeying for hosting playoff games, or in some cases, getting that first round bye. So to have a game that comes down, both these games, but when you've got your in-state rival at home, there's a lot of extra juice on this one.
Yeah, and speaking of juice, there's going to be a lot of juice in the stands with the energy because we're expecting a very large crowd for the first time in a renovated Dakota Dome packed house, we're hoping for a sellout. Maybe by the time this comes out, maybe it will be sold out. But the point is, this is going to be the best atmosphere that we've seen in the renovated dome. I'm really excited for it.
Right. It will be. I mean, it's going to be loud. Right now, as of today, we're sold out. You know, early in the week, we're sold out until some of the tickets that we have holds on, team holds, some things like that, that once those get turned back in, we're hoping to be able to open back up some tickets to the public. But I would say stay tuned to both social media, Twitter, and the website to find out when those things, if there are any, might go on sale.
Let's talk about volleyball. They've put themselves in a spot to play meaningful games at the end of the year as well, and they're doing it at home. A real opportunity this week playing Denver at home and Omaha. A couple of wins there gives them the inside track to the top seed in the Summit League tournament, and you just know it's going to be a battle, but a lot of fun, especially being at home.
Right, and if I'm not mistaken, both these matches against Denver and Omaha went to five sets on the road. Us beating Omaha and then losing to Denver, but high quality, high caliber volleyball. Some of the best volleyball you'll see in here during the regular season is when Omaha and Denver come in here. Now, granted, we stacked the game on Thursday up against high school playoffs, but that's why we moved that. That's a 6 o'clock start because that last high school championship football game that day starts at 7:30. So we can at least get ours started and then turn around and close things out at home against Omaha at 3 o'clock on Sunday, which is senior day.
Yeah, and certainly some seniors who have been a big part of the program, and I know they're all looking forward to hosting the Summit League tournament Thanksgiving weekend as well. Obviously, basketball season's all over the country, got underway this week, so we're officially in the crossover season with basketball, and for a Friday night matchup, the women's basketball team gets to play the number one team of the country. I know it's not home in our building, but how often are you going to play, is a team from South Dakota going to play the number one team of the country in your home state? This is an incredible opportunity.
It is, and you know, and it really is in our backyard. It really will be a home court advantage for us. It certainly was, it would have been last year, except fans weren't allowed in the building when we played them. And so now we get to kind of flip the table on that one. It's going to be, you know, the tournament itself, the kind of little classic that they put together, because the other matchup is Louisville and Arizona. And so you've got South Dakota on the same stage and as a peer to Louisville, Arizona, and now South Carolina. So yeah, it says a lot about our program, and frankly, it says a lot about what other people think about our program to put us in that position.
Yeah, and you know, by the time people hear this, the men, maybe they've already seen the result of the men's game because they open their season on a Thursday. But what a unique deal that is, just to have Air Force, one of the academies, mm-hmm, playing them on Veterans Day. Just a really neat, unique setup.
It is on Veterans Day. You're playing in the Pentagon, and you're playing us versus Air Force Academy at 1:30. Now, I was an Air Force brat growing up. We went from Air Force Base to Air Force Base, so I grew up around that. We even spent time in Colorado. I spent time on the Academy's campus when, as a kid, going to football games and things like that. So that's really extra special for me. Both my dad and my stepdad served in the Air Force. So I think having – it's a unique and how the whole thing came about is relatively unique, about just trying to get them here, trying to find the time, going back and forth, and then having to manage what the Pentagon schedule was. Air Force did not want to come to Vermilion. I mean, there were so many different moving parts in this, and it took forever to get this thing lined up because it just takes coaches a long time to make a decision when it comes to playing games, because they've typically got four or five other teams in the hopper that they're trying to figure out which one is going to make the most sense for them. But overall, I think on Veterans Day, Air Force Academy – at at the Pentagon. It's going to be a fun way for the men to kick off the season.
Yeah, certainly it's an opportunity of fun, no doubt. And then basketball will go on the road, both men and women, to Drake Sunday and Monday. Yeah. But you know what? We'll be back home before you know it for more basketball games and just kind of the way the seasons go. How about triathlon? I know they go to their championship this weekend, and triathlon has been what do they call it, an emerging sport, and they're trying to get it to be a full-fledged NCAA sport, and it's just continued to grow. And South Dakota, believe it or not, South Dakota was in on the ground floor of triathlon.
Yeah, how about that, right? And have come in second two times in the quote-unquote the triathlon national championships, and so only second to Arizona State. Now, the good thing is there's quite a few more teams that have added it. We have to get to a total of 40 teams for the NCAA to consider it a championship sport. So we're only a handful of teams away from doing that, which means, in essence, then at the end, then the NCAA comes in and runs the championship. And they'll have to do some things to determine how many Division I schools are a part of that, Division II, Division III. But I think what people are finding is that it's a sport that's relatively easy to add. You get a lot of interest in triathlon. There's probably more interest in triathlon than people would actually think, because it typically exists as a club sport or a rec sport or whatever you want to call it. So it's not, you don't typically have triathlon teams in high school. You have good athletes, good swimmers, good runners. Technology, I love it, but that's how that works, right? And so, but for us to be able to go, we've got a pretty deep team and a good portion of youth on this team. I mean, Maddie Labin's already going to, towards the end of the month, is going to be competing in the Junior Pan Am Games. I mean, there's some pretty impressive things in regards to this program, but it'll be looking forward to the weekend and seeing how we stack up against the best of the best.
You know, you mentioned Maddie Labin. How cool has that been? I know you've watched her grow up in the town of Vermillion, kind of with your daughters going to high school around the same time that she's going through it and whatnot, and then just to see the way that she's competed at USD, right in her hometown. I mean, she's an incredible story and heck of an athlete.
She is. You know, despite her parents, she really, really has kind of emerged as a star. Yeah, I know. I'm going to get some grief for that one, but that's okay. What an impressive young lady. She really is, both as a competitor, as a person, as a student. Just amazing. An absolute bundle of energy, and so and with such a positive outlook. So I don't think I've really seen a big change in her from when she was in fifth grade till when she is right now. She's been the same person. She just actually, I think, excelled so well athletically and in both, for us, both in the pool, cross-country, track, and triathlon. It's absolutely amazing what she's done.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun to watch, no doubt. Well, we mentioned the football game against South Dakota State. Obviously, it's part of the Showdown Series. I know that's continued to be a big thing between the athletic departments at USD and SDSU, and just one more chapter, if you will, in the Showdown Series.
Right. It just kind of keeps rolling. And with the whole end game of supporting Feeding South Dakota, the South Dakota Showdown Series is one of those that we continue to find ways to put on unbelievably exciting athletic contests, both in all these sports. And we go back to it. We'll culminate this probably again in the spring to see where the whole thing kind of wraps up, right? But every team that competes in it knows the score probably more so than you or I do off the top of our heads, right? They get it, so it's important to them.
USD currently leads 3-2 over South Dakota State, but 2 points up for grabs in this football matchup. All right, let's get to Ask the AD. I've got one for you here, and this in regards to football. What is the status of getting the scoreboard working for the last home football game? There's been some issues with stats on the scoreboard, concerns about no scores. I would imagine that means from other games, and then replays at times haven't been on the scoreboard.
Sure. Well, I guess if I just look at last game, replays were working. About somewhere in the second quarter, the stat when the field goal got blocked, right? That's when it crashed. Still don't know why. Had one of the kind of the preeminent individuals in the region here that day. We kind of restatted the whole thing up till that point, hit the button after we blocked the field goal, it crashed again, and it's never happened before. And not only our staff, but the techs had absolutely no idea how that could ever happen. I mean, again, getting that stuff resolved is a must. As far as scores from other games, I figure everybody's got a phone right now, and they can look it up on their phone. But I don't if that's what 9,000 people want, then we can put scores of other games up on the board, I suppose.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I'd like to know what's going on across the league, especially when your team's winning and they need other games' wins or losses. You keep an eye on some of that.
A lot, so. Absolutely.
But we'll keep an eye on it, and good stuff. I know it's a busy, busy week, so thanks so much for taking the time, and enjoy it all. A lot of home events, a lot of we got season openers, got meaningful games, plus high school championships, so a fun weekend, David. Thanks so much for the time.
Thanks, John. Appreciate you, man.
He's David Herbster, the athletic director at the University of South Dakota. I apologize for my watch getting involved in the conversation. Maybe you heard that. That's what it was when he was talking about technology. I don't know what was said that activated it. It's never happened in our conversations before, but all of a sudden, Siri wanted to get involved with the conversation. So we let her chime in a little bit and then just continued on our merry way. In sports, one team wins and one loses, but when it comes to bioethanol, we all win. Poet Biorefining Hudson is proud to be a local producer of environmentally friendly bioethanol and help create a competitive corn market for the area producers. Well, you may have heard there's the big football game on Saturday inside the Dakota Dome, South Dakota and South Dakota State. 2 points are up for grabs in the South Dakota Showdown Series, but more importantly, both of these teams are playing for something significant as far as postseason implications. The Jackrabbits are trying to claim a top 8 seed. They're in that conversation for the playoffs. South Dakota maybe could get itself in that position if it wins its next two, but the Coyotes definitely, it seems like, needs a win over its final two games to guarantee a spot in the playoffs. So this is an absolute tremendous matchup, huge implications, so many different things, and we're expecting a very, very large crowd in the Dakota Dome Saturday for this event and for this football game. Should be a lot of fun. A rocking crowd, ruckus crowd, however you want to put it. Let's keep the energy high, especially when the Yotes are on defense. Don't allow South Dakota State to communicate. That's our goal for this week and our challenge to the crowd. Take a look at the Jackrabbits. We bring in the voice of the Jackrabbits, Tyler Maria. Tyler, you look at the season that South Dakota State is having. Obviously, it's a tremendous season they're having, just two losses on the year, coming off a big win over North Dakota State at home, in front of that home crowd, a very large home crowd. What have you seen out of this group the last couple of weeks? You know, they went on a stretch for dropping 2 of 3, but have won back-to-back games, and it seems like they're getting things back in order.
I think they're getting things back in order. I think getting healthier is a big part of this, too. You know, during that stretch, the last three quarters of the home loss to Southern Illinois and then throughout the loss to Northern Iowa, the Jacks are missing Logan Backus, who is a three-time team captain and an All-American linebacker, down Don Gardner for a significant portion of the fall as well, an All-American cornerback. Both those guys healthy, both played on Saturday. Gardner for the first time, Backus is back at 100%. So that certainly plays a factor in it too. I think when you look at the overall scope of this team, and this was the same in the spring, and you and I have had these conversations off air as well, when this team puts everything together, they are capable of beating anybody and everybody they play, which they've shown, but they've had a tendency to be inconsistent. And whether that's sign of youth, whether that's whatever it might be, they haven't always been able to put together 60 minutes of football that created some opportunities for teams to take advantage of. And in this league, you can't do that and expect to win every game, and that's part of what's happened. But they're playing more consistent. They certainly are getting healthier. And right now, they put themselves back in the position they want to be, where with two wins, they would potentially be a top 8 seed.
Yeah, and obviously that's very motivating for them. They know what that means over the last several years, having the opportunity to be a top 8 seed. Not that they need any more motivation to finish the season strong, but certainly that helps for this team.
Oh, no question. I mean, again, the goal, first and foremost, they wanted to win the Valley, which that still theoretically is in play, but it's out of their control. You know, they're going to have to win out and get some help for that to happen. But they know they can still be a top 8 seed. They know the trek all the way to Frisco is much easier when you minimize the amount of travel you have to do. And Dana J. Dykhouse Stadium, being able to play in that facility, certainly is advantageous to them, despite the fact that the only two losses have been at home. And so a lot of motivation to achieve those goals. And let's keep in mind, as good of a season as they had in the spring, ultimately they came up short of a national championship, which is the ultimate goal, and they want to get back there, and they want to have the opportunity to play for that title again.
You know, the spring national championship, obviously Mark Gronowski went down to that injury in that national championship game. And mm-hmm. I know Jackrabbit fans and that team had to be bummed to see that. And then you go into this year and you're thinking, gosh, what are they going to do at quarterback? Well, they bring in Chris Oladokun, and he has just continued to elevate the program. What have you seen out of the starting quarterback?
Well, I think Oladokun is a unique mixture of things, because Jabore Gibbs and then Mark Gronowski, two different guys, and then Oladokun's a different guy from those two as well. Oladokun throws the deep ball as well as any Jackrabbit quarterback since Taryn Christian, in my mind. So he can throw the ball 50, 60 yards down the field and put it on the spot. His intermediate throws, he's getting better at that. Those have been a little touch and go. He's not a guy that's going to run 15 times a game. You're not going to run quarterback power with him like you did with Gronowski at times with Gibbs. Now, he can move around the pocket. That's probably the one thing he does better than those other guys, is he's shifty and he moves and creates space for himself. And one of the guys he uses that he models himself after, which you will appreciate, is Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs, in that just being able to slither into cracks and still get rid of the football. And so there's times he'll be on the move and throw the football sideways, or, you know, find a contorted ankle. There was one play on Saturday against North Dakota State where he's about to run out of bounds, literally underhand flipped it forward, and it ended up being an incomplete pass. But just those types of plays that he'll create on the run that other guys haven't. But he's really got a charisma about him, great leadership qualities. This team rallied around him from the first time he set foot on campus back in the summer. And for him to come in on short notice and take this team and have them in contention to be a top eight team, it really is impressive.
A lot of the playmakers for this team, especially in the receiving game, are local guys right out of the mm-hmm. region, state of South Dakota.
Yep.
How big has that been for the program as they've, you know, continued to increase attendance and things like that at football games?
I think it certainly helps. And, you know, those of us that have been around long enough remember back when this whole Division I stuff started, first for SDSU and then USD, and the concerns were, now you're going to be going outside the state. You're not going to be able to have these local homegrown products. And you see, when you have Tucker Kraft from small town South Dakota, you have the Yankees from Madison, to be able to have guys like that that can contribute. Zach Hines from Sioux Falls, as you're mentioning. It certainly is a nice thing to have, and I think it helps with attendance. It's good stories, too, and it's a reminder that just because you're from South Dakota and not from a huge metropolitan area doesn't mean you can't be very successful. And the Dallas Goddards of the world that have gone on to the National Football League, the Carson Wentzes, you know, you can be a small town kid that hunts and fish and lives out here in the Dakotas and move on to some great things professionally as far as sports go. And those guys are very talented. I mean, the two Yankees make a solid combination at wide receiver, and Hines and Kraft, you know, NDSU has a good combination at tight end. Certainly when you look at a couple of other places, Youngstown with Ogletree is a very unique skilled tight end. Sampson's one of the best in the Valley, but you talk about a 1-2 punch of Kraft and Hines, and you probably put them up against anybody in the league.
You know, you look at the defense for South Dakota State, very veteran across most of the board. And one thing that they've mm-hmm. done, you've watched this the last several years, they knew they had to beef up the defensive line, not just guys who are going to play right away, but guys you can rotate in. That's been a big part of their success defensively.
No, you're exactly right, John. That is an excellent point. The depth on that defensive line has been huge, because they'll play 10, 11, 12 guys, and you don't see a significant drop off. Now, and like you're saying, sometimes you say that because they're all just average. They're all good. There isn't that one guy that's this unbelievable, all-American, unblockable guy per se, but they're all really good. And when you're rotating them out, in and out so much, you're keeping them all fresh, you're keeping them all healthy, and that's been a big reason why they've been able to attack things. There's nobody with these astronomic numbers like we're seeing, but they do a great job. I think the thing that defensive line does that gets kind of lost in the shuffle is that they're not always making the plays, but what they're doing is they're keeping the linebackers' feet clean, and the backuses in the box, who are so talented, aren't fighting blocks to make their plays. They're able to make plays in open space. And a lot of that goes back to the job the defensive line does of occupying those blockers. And so even if they're not necessarily making the tackle, they're playing a role in it, and you can't forget about that.
You know, you mentioned Adam Bach, who has is more tackles than anybody, and is not even close on this football team. One of those things where you lose a guy like Christian Roseboom and insert Adam Bach. That's not a bad deal there.
No, it isn't, and Bach has obviously benefited from having a guy like Backus on his side, and then certainly Preston Tetzlaff in the spring, who graduated. But when you have a veteran like Backus you can lean on a little bit, that obviously goes a long way as well. But Bach is a playmaker. He's a young kid who is only going to get better, you know, a puppy with big paws, and he's still learning that position a little. But a very quiet kid who works incredibly hard and puts himself in the right position more times than not, and is a good, solid tackler, and like we're saying here, you know, multiple years still left in his Jackrabbit career, but to lose a skillful individual like Christian Roseboom, who's in the National Football League right now, and to not miss much of a beat is a pretty solid compliment for one Adam Bach.
Tyler, we talked about that stretch where they dropped 2 out of 3, and that was an interesting stretch where they had a big lead on Southern Illinois, end up losing that game at overtime, just couldn't get things going against Northern Iowa the way they wanted. I don't know if this team needed it or not, but how much did the win over North Dakota State last week kind of boost the confidence or get the confidence back to where it was when this team made its run in the spring?
Well, I think it certainly didn't hurt, you know, and I think it definitely reminded everybody of what they're capable of. But I think the other thing, too, is it cemented back into form what is still out there and what is still possible. Because like we're saying, now with that win, you're looking 2 wins, 9-2. Top 8 seed, certainly, maybe even a little higher than just being a top 8 seed. Who knows how everything shakes out. Suddenly, a lot of those goals are not only reasonable, but well within reach. And it's a little easier to talk about that when you have that big win, because that was the other part of this discussion. The Jacks had the Colorado State win, but their other wins hadn't been against top half teams in the Valley. Now, Youngstown's beaten a couple of ranked teams, but Youngstown's having a down year. And so to go on the road and thump them isn't something that drew a bunch of impressive eyebrows raising throughout the nation. But you beat North Dakota State and you handle them from start to finish, that certainly garners the attention of a lot of people. So I think it reminded everybody of what they're capable of, beginning within that locker room. And now, again, they control a lot of what they want to control, which that's a great spot to be in. You'd much rather be in control of being a top 8 seed, which they feel like they are. The problem they have is they got to face two really good teams these last 2 weeks, a rival on the road and then a team in North Dakota that is very good as well and has been in every game, as you've seen. So the sprint to the finish line is going to be anything but easy for this team.
You know, I think we've been waiting for these type of matchups here at the end of the season with South Dakota fighting for its playoff life, South Dakota State fighting for a bye. This is just fun right now to have these meaningful games the way they are right now here at the end of the year.
No, you're exactly right. This is what makes it so much fun, and to have a great atmosphere, which I know we will on Saturday, to have so much on the line where it means so much to both teams. I mean, that game that the Jackson Coyotes played down in Vermilion 4 years ago is one that still is fondly remembered by everybody up here because of the classic game it was. I know it isn't as fondly remembered down in Vermilion because the Coyotes lost, but it was just such a great game for both teams. Now, the game in 19, obviously, great memories for USD fans, but there wasn't that playoff potential in that matchup where there is here. You know, if USD wins, it's in the playoffs. So there's so much on the line for them. We're talking the top 8 seed for SDSU. We haven't seen this a lot. We've seen it in basketball where it's meant everything. We haven't seen it much in football other than that 1 year. So to have this means so much to both programs. I think it's great for the rivalry. It's great for the state, and looking forward to getting down there on Saturday.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. Tyler, great stuff. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it. See you on Saturday.
All right, you take care, my man. Always good to catch up.
He's Tyler Merriam, the play-by-play voice for the Jackrabbits Radio Network of South Dakota State. Good stuff from him. Always good to catch up with Tyler and talk South Dakota State. Certainly knows what he's talking about when he's talking about the Jackrabbits. So good to have him on the podcast here for this one. All right, the triathlon team is headed to Tempe, Arizona. They'll compete on Saturday for the USA Triathlon Collegiate National Championship, and this week I had a chance to catch up with triathlon head coach Kyle Joplin.
Kyle, it's crazy to think the championship is already here. Your season goes fast. I don't know, you get 4 or 5 competitions typically in, and obviously doing a lot of work for your group, but seems like it goes by fast for triathlon.
It is every year. We have 13 weeks from when the kids get on campus, and it really, we are competing usually in 3 or 4 weeks, and yeah, by the time you turn around, Nationals are here. So it's a very quick season every year.
What have you seen out of this team throughout the course of the year? I know that everybody has competed in every one of the events, but throughout the course of the year, just kind of the growth of some of these athletes?
We've got to see a little bit more experience, and just I've gotten to see our freshman race a little bit now. You know, because of the dead period last year and everything, like I, from a time standpoint, knew what we were getting with the freshman, but I haven't actually got to see him race that much. But we've got to kind of see that now and see him in action. We've got to see them kind of around our team now and just kind of get into that culture. So yeah, a lot of it is growth from some of the younger kids.
You know, you talk about that dead period last year, and it was a weird year for everyone, obviously, and trying to recruit and bring kids into the program. What was that challenge like for you?
It was a lot of phone calls. It was a lot of, honestly, kids just putting faith in, I think, what we've done for the last few years here. You know, a lot of them knew girls on the team and kind of knew our reputation. And so it was just, it was a lot of faith that they seem like they've been able to do some pretty good things there. We seem to, you know, like what we know of the girls on the team, and so we're going to give that a shot and hope that it works out, and it has for us. It was probably a little bit of a gamble from the recruits and from us because we didn't get to spend as much time with them, but the three freshmen we have been great on our team this year and have been athletically have been a good fit for us, and just personality-wise have been really good.
When you look at your team, obviously there's some international athletes, and then there's you know, somebody like Maddie Lavin, who's local, and I know has announced recently that she's going to compete, is it Columbia, and like the Junior Pan Am Games or whatever it is, and a really neat opportunity for her, and just to get the opportunity to compete in a big event, really.
Yeah, for somebody like Maddie, who grew up, I mean, you know, was one of the more competitive runners and swimmers in the state since she was, you know, 10 years old. To go from that and to be able to combine that together to, I mean, she was second overall at our U23 National Championship this year. She got to go to Canada and compete in the U23 World Championships, and she was just named to the Pan American, the Junior Pan American team. She's probably going to be able to make some pretty big international events in the next few years now. There's a pretty good opportunity for her to travel probably all around the world. So yeah, for somebody like her, that's just been huge. Of we've had so many people that have come here to be part of this group, but now to have somebody that grew up locally here that's now getting to go out and do this all over the world is pretty great.
Is that something that you think can help grow the sport just more locally and allow for regional recruiting when you see South Dakota being kind of on the ground floor of triathlon to begin with, and then to have somebody like Maddie Lavin right from Vermilion kind of put the sport a little bit on the map, if you will, in the region? Maybe something that will get the attention of some of the area athletes.
Yeah, I think so. You know, we have so many people in this area that, because it is a smaller area or less populated area, we have a lot of athletes that do. They play two or three sports through high school. They don't, you know, get really specific early on. So we have some kids that are very, very good athletes that they have grown up running. They have grown up swimming. They have grown up playing soccer. And they play basketball during the winter. And they've grown up doing more things. And I think can kind of look at something like this and go, okay, like, you know, maybe I'm not a Division I swimmer, maybe I'm not a Division I runner, maybe I'm not a Division I soccer player, but I may be able to win a national championship in triathlon. And it's just, it's something that provides another opportunity. And yeah, I think it's something that's pretty big for this area.
Your team's going to compete for the championship this weekend, and obviously they've had a couple of second-place finishes, and, mm-hmm. and the sport has certainly grown since then. How different is the championship field this year compared to maybe your first year taking USD to it?
It's going to be drastically different. Also, the fact that we didn't have a national championship last year, we're 2 years removed. We had five of the top 10 athletes at Nationals 2 years ago. I would say we're probably going to be very lucky to get five in the top 15 this year. The competitiveness of it is just, it's amazing how quickly teams are being able to put together good rosters and solid athletes. It's going to be a drastically faster and more competitive race this year, and it's only going to keep growing and getting faster as we add more teams and they fill out a roster. And But yeah, it's going to be fast this year.
The good news about that means that the sport is growing, which is very important for triathlon, which has been considered an emerging sport. And I know they need to get more teams involved for it to become an official NCAA sanctioned sport or whatever. But how is the growth? How is that process from the way you see it as far as closing in on that number of teams and trying to make triathlon stick around for the long haul?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, we know that it's going to move from emerging to championship. We're just not sure if that's happening this year, if it's happening in 2 years. We're at 37 as of right now, and we have to get to 40 before it's voted on. If we can hit 40, if we can add three more teams between now and February, whenever the NCAA has their annual convention, it could potentially get voted in, and we could be starting fall of 2022. More likely, it is going to get voted in after that, and we'll be starting. We'll move from emerging to championship status in fall of 2023. But yeah, at this point, it's not a if; it's more of a when. It's growing really fast right now. It's moving in a good direction. It's becoming so much more competitive. So yeah, it's a pretty exciting time for the sport.
As you've seen it grow, and obviously get to 37 teams, and obviously feel comfortable about it growing even more teams. How big can this get with triathlon?
I mean, I think we've all felt that once it becomes championship status and the NCAA takes over, we're probably going to see a fairly large growth quickly. Like within, I would say, the first 3 or 4 years, I don't think it's unrealistic that we may be at 55 to 65 teams within, 4 years from now. It's kind of a niche sport, and I think it's going to be one of those things that we probably form pockets. You know, there will probably be areas of the country that kind of, in conferences, that add it. But yeah, I would assume that over the next 4 to 5 years, we're going to have pretty fast growth. And then it's going to be one of those that it's up to each university, it's up to each conference to, does this work well for our area? Do we have races that we can get to easily? Do we have competition that we can get to easily? One thing that's been very nice for us was with Denver adding in the Summit League this year. We've had some competition within our conference. Yeah, I would expect a lot of growth in the next few years.
Yeah, it's fun to see sports continue to grow. How is it with the growth, and you talk about just the rapid growth of it, how has it changed or challenged recruiting, trying to get student-athletes here to USD to compete in triathlon?
It's definitely changed a lot from the first couple of years of basically people just beating down our door to us having to go out and kind of be a little bit more proactive with stuff this, the last year. It's also one of those things that I think it's going to be up to coaches to probably be a little creative and try to, can they find a fifth year kid that swam or ran in college that has an extra year of eligibility? Are they willing to do the work to go find those athletes that ran and swam in high school and are just good athletes, or swam and played soccer or basketball in high school? We have a junior elite circuit kind of club championship here in the U.S., but it's something that's putting out, 20 to 30 senior athletes every year. It's graduating about 30 athletes every year. So it's enough for us to recruit from right now, but not long term. And it's also something that continues to grow as we grow, is there's more of a demand for it. More kids do it in high school. But I think a lot of it's just going to be coaches getting creative and going out and finding the athletes. Because, Matty Lavin came from a small town in South Dakota. There are kids like that all over the country. You just have to be able to go out and find them. We got lucky here that she was here.
Yeah.
She was here when I got here. But there are kids like that all over the country. So
then it begs the question, when you're recruiting, are you looking for the talented runner, the talented swimmer? Which part's the easier part to coach and train for, I guess?
I would say for a lot of coaches, if you don't have a big swim background, you probably want to get swimmers, because it's a little bit harder to teach that later in life. For me, I come from a swim background, so I feel pretty comfortable taking runners and being able to get them out of the water in a decent position. It's another thing that you have to kind of know as a coach what your strengths and weaknesses are. Are you able to teach swimming really well? Do you need somebody that kind of already knows how to do it?
I would imagine in triathlon, obviously we're talking about running, swimming, and biking. for the most part, you can't be good at all of them, right? There's going to be a weakness in one of the areas versus a different area. How do you get the kids to buy into just knowing that they aren't as strong maybe in one area and they can make up that time in a different area?
A lot of experience. That's, I mean, kind of going back to Maddie, that's Maddie's a little bit fitter than she was a year and a half ago, but I don't know that she drastically is, but she's doing significantly better in the races, and that's just from experience. She knows how to operate in open water a little bit better now. She knows how to handle her bike. She knows to have enough faith in her run that, like, if the bike's not going exactly how she wants it to, she can still run really well. Yeah, most of that is just experience. It's kind of doing it. It's knowing how to react in certain situations to, oh, somebody just put in a surge on the bike. I have to cover that. And, yeah, it's just doing it again and again and again and having faith in yourself, having faith that you've put in enough hard work that you're going to be prepared to deal with what happens.
So with the championship this week, remind us the distances that are covered in all these different events.
So we've got a 750-meter swim, a 20K bike, which is about 12.5 miles, and then a 5K run, which is 3.1 miles. So the top girls will take them about an hour to do. But yeah, most of our girls will come in anywhere between 60 and 70 minutes. It's considered a sprint, but it's a sprint that takes an hour.
It's a long sprint.
Yeah.
Well, Kyle, appreciate the time very much. Safe travels to the championship event, and good luck for you and your team. It'll be fun to follow.
Absolutely. Thank you.
He's Kyle Joplin, the triathlon coach at the University of South Dakota. Again, they compete in the USA Triathlon Collegiate National Championship, Tempe, Arizona, on Saturday. And we'll keep an eye on those results and see how things go for the USD triathlon team. And obviously, we talked a lot about Maddie Lavin. There's a lot of tremendous athletes on this team, but I think it's so cool to see Maddie Lavin, a homegrown product, competing in triathlon, which South Dakota's been on the ground floor of since the start. And I think it's been fantastic to see the growth there. All right, let's talk about a couple of other things going on in Coyote Athletics. Derek Shepard has been named, promoted to the Director of Ticket Sales and Operations. So many of you have been able to get to know Derek Shepard, and we certainly enjoy, you know, certainly continue to build that relationship with Derek, and he'll get you all the tickets that you need for Coyote Athletics. And he's done a great job being a part of that office the last couple of years, and now an opportunity to be the head of the ticket sales and operations department. Also this week, it was early signing day for basically all sports except for football, so you can check out the 2022 signees for volleyball, women's basketball, tennis, soccer, all of that happening. Go to goyotes.com for all of that information. All right, let's take a look at what is going on in Coyote Athletics. You know this has been a busy, busy week. This podcast will be posted as people are listening to Lunch with the U or at Lunch with the U in Sioux Falls. And then we'll start with our Thursday schedule. Of course, 1:30 in the afternoon, tip-off between South Dakota and Air Force in the Sanford Pentagon. And Thursday night, volleyball takes on Denver. It's a 6 p.m. start time volleyball there. Obviously, it's a huge match for South Dakota, huge match for Denver as well. Should be a lot of fun. Cross country is at the NCAA Midwest Regional in Iowa City. That starts on Friday. Women's basketball Friday night at 6 o'clock will take on the number one ranked South Carolina Gamecocks in the Sanford Pentagon in Sioux Falls. Women's triathlon Saturdays at the USA Triathlon Collegiate National Championship. Football takes on South Dakota State. It's a ranked matchup there as the two teams meet at 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon inside the Dakota Dome. On Sunday, the men's basketball team is on the road. They travel to Drake in Des Moines. 2 o'clock start time there, South Dakota and Drake. And then volleyball, 3 o'clock start time in the Sanford Coyote Sports Center. Another big matchup for South Dakota volleyball as they take on Omaha in a huge matchup. And then Monday night, women's basketball is on the road at Drake in Des Moines. It's a 6 o'clock start time between South Dakota and Drake in women's hoops on Monday. So that's what's going on in Coyote Athletics. Hope you can catch a game, match, or meet soon. And for all the ticket information, the game information, go to goyotes.com. All right, that's going to wrap it up for me. I'm John Thayer. Thanks so much for taking the time to listen to this episode. Do it each and every week. Download and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We're always taking your thoughts and comments and ask the AD questions, whatever, at yokecast@usd.com. yokes.edu. I'm John Thayer. Have a great weekend. Stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.